In the Bible, we find the church at work. We find the church at work in the realm of benevolence, that is, helping the needy. We find the church at work in evangelism, that is, preaching and teaching the gospel, especially to the lost. And we also find the church at work in edification, that is, building up the members of the body of Jesus Christ. We've seen in our studies that a lot of space in the New Testament is given to these activities. And this shows the importance of these works, not only in New Testament times, but in our age as well. We need to be constantly busy and involved in edifying the body of Christ, in evangelizing, and in helping the needy. Now, what we want to do in this lesson is to look at some observations and some questions and areas of concern about these works that we've talked about. In the first place, when the church is involved in doing benevolent work, when the church is involved in evangelism and in edification, there are matters of judgment in any congregation that each congregation has to decide upon. In other words, God gives the works to us and says that we're to do these works. We are to help the needy. But when it comes to carrying out that particular command, each congregation is going to have to make decisions. For instance, when you have a family in a community that really needs helping, a congregation has to make the decision as to how much they can afford to help. How much money can they give, or how much assistance can they afford to give to that particular family? Or suppose that you have several families who are needing help at the same time. Well, a congregation has to do as much as it's able to do, just like an individual has to do that as well. So there are judgment calls that have to be made about that. Now, there are some guidelines and principles that the Bible gives in the New Testament about helping those who are in need. In the first place, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, the Bible says that the first obligation to help a family member falls upon the members of that family. Paul says they need to help that person first, if at all possible. Then he says if they can't help, then that's where the church comes in. So that's very important to remember. That's 1 Timothy chapter 5, especially in verse 4. The Bible also says that there is a priority given to helping members of the body of Christ. In Galatians 6:10, that we're going to also look at in just a few minutes, Paul says, "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith," that is, people who are in the church. But even though we have these guidelines and these principles to go by, still there are all kinds of decisions that have to be made, and every congregation makes its own decisions. Any congregation that you are in is not going to be able to help every needy person in the world, and so the decisions have to be made as to who and how much and when and so forth. These are judgment calls that the elders of a congregation have to make. Now, if there are no elders in the congregation, then the men are to take the lead and to make those judgment calls. Now, the same thing is true in the area of evangelism. All congregations need to be involved in saving the lost. But as far as the particular way in which they pursue that is concerned, that is a judgment call. And so one congregation may decide to focus on sending the gospel to, let's say, China. Another congregation may decide that they're going to send missionaries to South America. Another congregation may decide that they're going to send missionaries to the inner part of New York City. Another congregation may decide some different place altogether. So as to the place that is selected, how much money and time and effort and ability and manpower is put into that, these are all decisions that every congregation has to make. So this is very important to remember when we look at the works of the church. The works are laid out and set forth in the New Testament, but there are always going to be judgment calls that need to be made, and those judgment calls are a matter of local church autonomy, that is, every church is self-ruling and self-governing in that area. Something else that we need to remember about the work of the church is that anytime we're involved in the work of the church, in doing good to the needy and helping those who are in need by doing benevolent work, in evangelism by preaching and teaching the gospel, and in edifying the church, there's going to be a price to be paid by the church. that is going to come with a cost, and that cost will be persecution. Any time that a congregation is involved in doing good and doing these good works, that church is going to be persecuted. And the more good that that church does, the more it's going to be persecuted. In the early church, we find that the disciples went out and preached everywhere. They spread the gospel throughout the world. And yet we find in Acts chapter 28, verse 22, that it was said that the church was a sect or a cult. And in Acts 28, verse 22, the Bible says that everywhere it was spoken against. So in the church, it's not just a matter of getting excited about doing something good and planning it out and then getting it started. There will be opposition. There will be obstacles. There will be persecution. The Bible says that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. That is going to happen on an individual basis. Every individual Christian who lives godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And it will happen on a congregational level. Every congregation that is active and busy and sound in the faith is going to be persecuted. People in the world will not like what the church is doing, especially as the church spreads the gospel through evangelism. And also, the church in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, not only had problems from the outside, but the church also experienced problems from the inside. So you're going to have people on the inside of the church that criticize when they should not. And you can mark it down that when a person criticizes the work of the church, he's not involved in the work of the church very much at all. The people who are busy doing the work of the church are not the ones that are criticizing it. And the ones who are criticizing the right and good works of the church are not the ones who are involved in it and participating in it. Well, they had that problem, you see, in the book of Acts. You had that problem in New Testament times, where some people on the inside of the church, instead of encouraging good works, actually ended up criticizing and discouraging those good works. That will happen today, just as it happened in the New Testament, and we don't need to be naive to that. We need to remember that these things are common in the body of Christ because you have people in the church. Something else that needs to be remembered, especially in this day and age, is that there is absolutely no emphasis on entertainment in the New Testament church. That's why we focused on the book of Acts. If you just go through the book of Acts and you see what the church was busy doing, if you look at the book of Acts and ask the question, what was the church all about in the first century? Then it's going to continually come back to you that the church was busy doing good to people who were in need. That the church was always busy evangelizing, preaching, and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that the church was always busy edifying and building up the members of the body of Christ. Now, we also find these people, obviously, involved in ordinary, everyday activities of life. We find these Christians, for instance, in the book of Acts, traveling. We find them working. We find these Christian people eating meals together. And that's certainly proper. That's certainly right. But as far as the overall emphasis of the book of Acts is concerned, it clearly stands out that these Christians were most concerned about these works that we've described. And there's not even a hint that uppermost in their minds or anywhere in their hearts was the idea that the church was a place to entertain people, that the purpose of the church was to entertain people. We live in a day and age where when people think about church, the first thing, and sometimes the only thing that they think about, is how much fun they're going to have, how much they're going to be entertained, and they look at church as some kind of recreational activity. And what I'm saying is this. When you look at the lives of these Christians in the body of Christ, when you look at the work of the church recorded in the book of Acts, do you see an emphasis on fun, food, and games in the body of Jesus Christ? Now, I know that these people had fun. I know that they ate food. I know that they played games. Obviously, that's a part of human life. But when you compare the programs and the activities of many churches today to what you read about in the book of Acts and the entire New Testament, do you ever see the kind of emphasis on these things in the New Testament that we see in many churches today? Just read your Bible and compare the Bible to many church bulletins, and you're going to see a huge difference in priorities and in emphasis. Here's something else that needs to be talked about in regard to the work of the church. It is biblical, it is scriptural for a church to help Christians and non-Christians. It is scriptural for a church to help the needy, whether those needy are in the church or out of the church. Let's turn to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, and I'm going to start in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, and I want you to notice what Paul says in the very beginning of this book. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Now, who is Paul writing to here? Well, usually when he writes a letter like 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, or he writes the book of Ephesians or Philippians, he's writing to the church in that city. But here, he's writing to a group of churches throughout a province or a region. And the region here was the area of Galatia. So he's writing to a number of congregations in that area. That's important to remember. Now let's turn over to Galatians chapter 6, and I want you to read with me Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. And remember that Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia. So what is he telling the churches of Galatia to do? Galatians 6, verse 10. As we who? We Christians. We that are in congregations of the Lord's people. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all, that is, all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. The household of faith is the church. So he says, make it a priority. Give a special emphasis to helping people who are in need in the church, because they're your brethren. They are your brothers and sisters in Christ. You do bear a special relationship to them. But that doesn't mean that we're just to neglect people in the world. He says, do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. This passage says that the churches of Galatia were told to do good to all men. Doing good would certainly include helping those who are in need, doing benevolent work for those people. And he says to do good unto all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So if you just draw a circle on a piece of paper, and you put on that circle all men, and then you put a smaller circle inside of that bigger circle, and you label it the household of faith, well, those are the two circles. Those are the groups that Paul tells us to help. And so this one passage alone teaches that it is scriptural for a church to help Christians and non-Christians. So let us pursue the work of the church, and let us pursue that work God's way.